Happy Father's Day to each and every father that's among us here this morning. And I do feel like the Lord has laid a word on my heart for this service today. I want to ask you to turn, if you will, over in your Bible, over to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 11 and verse number 12. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11 and verse number 12. We're going to be reading the words of the Apostle Paul. And Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11, it just left. He's working on it. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." And I'm going to stop right there. Ask you if you'll just bow your heads, and let's pray and ask the Lord for His help, for His anointing in ministering His word. Heavenly Father, we are delighted this morning that we are able to gather here in this place and to gather in Your name, and thank You for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have felt. And thank You for the praise and the worship this morning. We come to the reading of Your word today, Heavenly Father, and I just would ask that You would supernaturally put Your words in my mind, put Your thoughts in my mind, put Your words in my mouth. Let what is spoken, I pray, come forth with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, with power and with simplicity, Lord. And yet let it land upon our hearts, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to impact and bring change within us. And Father, we will forever give You the praise, forever give You the thanks. And we ask it this morning in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. So my message is not just for the men today, because it impacts both of the sexes. But I titled my message this morning, "The Measure of a Man." The measure of a man, because Paul says, "O man of God." Inclusively, he could have said, "O people of God." But he says, "O man of God." So I have titled my message, "The Measure of a Man." And as I begin this morning, allow me to simply point out that we live in a world that is regulated by measurements. A measurement meaning a certain fixed standard by which something is determined to be accurate and true. Let me say that again. A measurement meaning a fixed standard by which something is determined to be true and accurate. Our world largely depends upon a fixed set of secure and unchanging measurements. In fact, there are government agencies that on a yearly basis, they test various devices to make sure that companies that serve us are serving us honestly. Let me give you some examples. When you go to the gas pump, you will see a seal on the gas pump. And a state agency bears the name on that seal, and there is someone that has signed it and dated it, and they are certifying that that gas pump pumps accurately 1 gallon of fuel with the rotation of the 10 clicks, right? How many have seen that seal? What if every station had their own determination for a measurement of a gallon of gas? What if every station varied? What if the Shell station pumped 3/4 of a gallon and said, that's our standard for a gallon? Would you cry unfair? I would. There needs to be a set standard, a set amount, a set measurement that is true and accurate across the board. The Food and Drug Administration has a division that spends time inspecting the pharmaceutical companies. They are there to inspect and determine that, amen, every single product that they make indeed has exactly the correct milligrams of the product that they are making. What if the industry had varying standards? Our world would be chaotic, would it not? Would it not create chaos in our healthcare system? One drug company says, this is our standard for a milligram, and another company overdoses you and says, this is our standard. Some of us might be walking around a little more wacky than we are. We might be happy, but we might be wacky. The building industry, it has been determined, and there are inspectors that regulate, and it has been determined that 12 inches always equals a foot. Can you imagine the engineering disasters that we would encounter if every builder had a varying measurement? One builder said 10 inches is a foot, and one builder said 13 inches is a foot. Can you imagine the chaos? Let me give you one more example. Time, the measurement of time, it has great impact upon our life. It determines how airports function. It regulates hospital schedules. It determines the shipping industry. But in order for it to work properly, we have to have a set standard measurement of time. 60 seconds must equal a minute. 60 minutes must equal an hour. 24 hours must equal a day. Amen. Can you imagine the chaos that would ensue if we jockeyed with time? There must be a set, specific standard that determines what is true and what is accurate. There can be no variables in some of these things. There has to be a set determination. A few weeks ago, I preached a message about the plumb line of God. And when we finished that message, we concluded that God, amen, has a plumb line. And he is measuring our lives, amen, to determine how we are building upon Jesus Christ. I want to continue along that line this morning, because just as there are a set of standards, that measurements that govern our world, there are a set of spiritual standards that are defined within the Word of God, and they can help us to measure how we build our life correctly. And those biblical measurements determine the measure of a man. I don't know about you, but this being Father's Day, as a father, I desire to measure up to God's standards. Amen. I desire to measure up to God's, amen, plumb line. I desire when God measures my life, I want him to find it to be true and accurate. So with that in mind, I have three things that the Holy Spirit has spoke to my heart about concerning our text. There are three things that are there in our text that can help us to be used as a standard of measurement, to help us determine the measure of our character, and to find out how we are building upon the foundation of Christ. The first measurement is found there in verse number 11. And this is what Paul says. But thou, O man of God, flee from these things. So the first standard of measurement, amen, that we can measure the character of a man is by what he flees from. What he flees from. When Paul writes the words to us in the Greek, it literally means, amen, it literally means that he is saying, run as if you are seeking safety. Quickly remove yourself. Quickly withdraw yourself like you have seen a serpent. How many of you have ever been walking down a trail, amen, and you just are just minding your own business and all of a sudden you come across something that shocks you? Amen, I've had that happen to me. I remember one time I was walking down a trail, amen, and I just wasn't paying attention to anything, looking around, enjoying the beautiful outdoors, and all of a sudden, right there in the middle of the trail was a serpent. I jumped back. I don't jump, but I jumped back about 10 feet. Paul is telling us, amen, quickly withdraw yourself as if you have seen something frightening. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. You may be thinking to yourself, Pastor Gary, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Men don't run. Hello? Real men don't flee. Fleeing is a sign of fear. Fleeing is a sign of fragility. Fleeing from something is a sign of weakness and powerlessness. But right here in the Word of God, we are clearly told that there are some things that we need to run from. There are some things that we need to flee from. And the measure of a man can be determined by what he finds, amen, repulsive, and he withdraws from. In context, Paul is saying, when something is repulsive or objectionable or, amen, or something is detestable to God, then we should be just as repulsed, and we should remove ourselves from it quickly. The true measure of a man can be determined by what he flees from, by what he finds objectionable, by what he finds, amen, as something that is detestable and repulsive, amen, and what he determines to be objectionable. I promise you this morning that if you allow yourself to remain in a questionable situation, you're going to wind up being overcome by temptation, and you're going to find yourself in a sinful state. Some people live up. Nah, it doesn't bother me. I can handle it. Let me just tell you, the human nature of a man cannot handle, amen, temptation alone. There are certain things that we need to flee from. If you play at fire, you're going to get burned. I used to tell my boys when they were growing up, if you run with dogs, you're going to get fleas. Hello? Amen. Amen. Scripture warns us that there are some things that we must flee from. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 18. These are again the words of the Apostle Paul. And he says, flee from fornication. What is fornication? It really means flee from sexual sin. Flee from fornication. He said, every sin that a man does is without his own body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. In other words, amen, there are some things that we need to flee, and sexual sin is one of them. And you can tell the measure of a man by what he flees from and what he abstains from. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 14, he said, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. meaning false gods. And you say, Pastor Gary, here in our Western culture, none of us have set up a calf. Ain't any of you got a calf in the garage, do you? I mean, you don't have a little golden idol in the garage. No. None of us have that kind of idol. But I'm telling you here this morning, many of us have set up prestige and power. Amen. And we've set up material things and we've made other things our God other than the Lord God. And God says to us right here that we are to flee from idolatry and make God first in our life. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, he said, but oh, man of God, flee these things. He goes on to say, flee from covetousness. Flee from the love of money. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 22, he said, flee youthful lusts and follow after righteousness. Saints of God, I come to tell you this morning that there are some things in the life, amen, are in our life that God finds repulsive and objectionable. And if we are truly a man of God, then we must withdraw from those things. Amen. And flee from those things. Amen. And the measure of our character can be determined by what we flee from and what we repel and what we abstain from. Amen. The Lord began to speak to my heart. Amen. And give me some things to share with you. We need to flee a stubborn heart and a stiff neck. I could preach a little bit right there. Amen. We need to flee a stubborn heart and a stiff neck. Are there not times in our life when we know what is right and we just refuse to walk in the right and we bow up our neck and stiffen our heart and decide we're going to have it our own way? I'm here to tell you this morning, amen, the Bible said that he that is often reproved, amen, without changing his way shall be cut off, and that without, amen, and that without recompense. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Flee from a stubborn heart and a stiff neck. Flee from unrighteousness and from ungodliness. Flee from pride and anger, and flee from jealousy and covetousness, and flee from backbiting and gossip. Amen. And learn how to flee from temptation and the wrong crowd. They'll lead you astray every time. Learn to understand that the true and accurate measure of a man can be determined by what he flees from. The true and accurate measure of a man can be found in what repulses him, what he finds objectionable. At the end of our life, we're not going to be measured in the eyes of God by how many hours we spent on the job. At the end of life, we're not going to be measured by God at how much money we have in our bank account. At the end of life, we're not going to be measured by God of how many toys that we have collected along the way. But the value, the real value of a man's heart can be measured by what he runs from. And I came here to tell you this morning not to allow the enemy to have a foothold in your life. Don't allow the enemy an inch. Amen. Years ago, I was preaching a revival in Atlanta, Georgia, and every single night there was a little lady, a little elderly lady that would stand and testify. And every night she would say these words in her testimony. She would say, don't let the devil ride. If you let the devil ride, he'll want to drive. Amen. And she would half sing it. She would half say every night, don't let the devil ride. If you let him ride, he's going to want to drive. Amen. Every night, I was there 2 weeks, every night she sang, don't let the devil ride. I took away from Atlanta, Georgia, don't let the devil ride. If you let him ride, he'll want to drive. How many of you know that's true? Don't give the enemy a foothold in your life. Learn how to flee. Learn that there are some things, amen, that God finds repulsive and objectionable, and turn from those things and move away from those things and don't allow those things to have a foothold in your life. There is an old parable that is told. I read it several weeks ago. And the parable goes something like this. There was a man that lived in a certain town. He owned a beautiful house and he wanted to sell his house. He wanted a large sum for the house. There was a gentleman that lived in that town that wanted to buy the house, but he could not afford it. It was more than he could afford, more than his means. And after much bargaining, after they had talked back and forth, and after they had bargained, and after they had finally they came to an agreement, and the man that owned the house determined that he would sell the property for a smaller amount that he was asking for, with one small stipulation. And that stipulation was that he owned a big nail right in front of the front door. The man could have the house at the lower price. He would own the property. He would own the home. But that one nail right in the front door, not to be moved, that's my nail. They finally came to agreement. The guy bought the house. He relinquished ownership. Some time later, the original owner decided that he wanted the house back. So he tells the new owner, he said, look, I want you to sell me your house and give it back to me. The new owner understandably says, no, I don't want to sell the house. So the original owner went out and found the carcass of a dead dog and he hung it on his nail right over the front door. And every day the owner of the home would have to come out the front door and there was that rotten stench. And it finally became so unbearable that he just yielded and gave the house back to the original owner. The parable concludes with this moral in mind. If we give the devil even one small peg in our life, he will return to hang his garbage upon it. Amen. Don't let the devil ride. He'll want to drive. Don't give the devil a foothold in your life. Don't give the devil one nail. Don't give him one opportunity. Learn how to flee from some things. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 27 said, neither give place to the devil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 22 said, abstain from the very appearance of evil. In other words, there are some things that we need to learn, or we need to flee from, and we need to learn how to walk away from and get away from. And the true measure of a man can be determined by what he finds as objectionable, what he finds as repulsive, what he finds as undoable. And what he flees from, you can tell the measure of a man, number one, by what he flees from. Number two, you can tell the measure of a man by what he follows after. You can tell by what he flees from, and number two, by what he follows after. Look again in verse number 11, our text. Paul says these words, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. Follow after godliness. Follow after faith. Follow after love. Follow after patience and meekness. Amen. He says there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 22, he says, flee youthful lust, but follow after righteousness and faith and charity and peace. Amen. And them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. In other words, connect yourself with brothers and sisters of like faith. Amen. And those who call upon the name of the Lord, amen, connect yourself with them and follow after God with them. Paul is writing here in these verses, and he gives the indication that it is to be a lifelong pursuit. This following, it is to be a lifelong pursuit. We are never to stop following after the Lord. Amen. I came here to tell you this morning that we need to make the goal of our life to follow after righteousness and godliness, and follow after love and faith and patience and gentleness, and follow after worship and follow after praise. Amen. Serve God and not the evil desires of our human nature, and follow after the prize of Jesus Christ, and follow after God's holy word and the Holy Spirit. Follow after prayer and humility, and follow after sincerity, and learn how to give thanks with a grateful heart. And brother, when you begin to follow after those things, it will have an impact in your heart and life. Jesus said these words in Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23. He said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Romans chapter 14 and verse number 19, Paul says these words, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith we may edify one another." Can you say amen? We need to follow after those things that build each other up and build one another up. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 1 said, "Follow after charity," which means follow after love. If you're not following love this morning, amen, I'm telling you right now, you've given the enemy an operation or a place to operate in your life, and you need to back up and flee from some things and begin to follow after the love of the living God. And when you follow after patience and goodness and meekness and temperance and long suffering and joy and mercy and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, it will have an incredible spiritual impact in your life. Let it happen. But it cannot happen until we follow after them. Flee from some things and follow after some things. The measure of a man can be measured by what he flees from and what he follows after. Number three, the measure of a man can be determined by what he fights for. By what he fights for. Look at verse number 12 of our text. Paul says in our text, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." That phrase, "fight the good fight of faith," in the Greek, it literally means to agonize a good agony. Doesn't that sound exciting? Agonize a good agony. Say, well, I really don't want no part of that. I really don't want to be involved with any of that. Sounds like too much work, right? What Paul is saying to us, he is informing us that when we determine that we are going to serve the Lord, amen, he is telling us that every step of the way we are going to face opposition. We are going to encounter resistance. Because when you said I do to God, amen, the enemy said I do too. In other words, he wants to keep you from being an overcomer. And the moment that you make a commitment to the Lord, amen, you might as well face it. You're going to face opposition every step of the way. If you think the enemy is going to cower down and just let you advance easily, you are greatly misunderstood. Amen. Because every time we say yes to Christ and strive to walk a life of faith, the enemy is going to be there to test our faith and try our faith and cause us to want to throw in the towel and give up. Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, chapter 2, verse number 3, he says these words, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Does that sound like it's going to be an easy path? No. He said, Timothy, you've made a commitment to God. Now, get ready. The battle is on. Endure hardness like a good soldier. He goes on to tell Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:18, he said, this charge I commit unto Timothy, that by the prophecies that have gone on before you, you might war a good warfare. Sound like struggle? That's because that's what he's telling him. You're in for a fight. You're in for a battle. The enemy's not just going to lay down and let you walk in faith without any kind of testing your faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring everything into captivity. Bring every thought into captivity and bring everything unto the obedience of Christ. In other words, we are going to have to fight the fight of faith. Paul is saying you're in a spiritual battle, and the measure of a man can be determined by what he determines to fight for. Amen. The measure of a man, the character of a man, can be determined by what he fights for. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. You can't do this in your own strength. You can't do this in your own power. It is not by our might. It is not by our power. But it is by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong, not in your strength, not in your willpower, but in the might and in the strength and in the power of the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, amen, there's going to come some moments in your life where you're going to have to fight. When you get knocked down, you have two choices. When you got your back against the wall, you got two choices. You can either surrender and stay down, or you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps and tell the devil, you might have hit me, but you didn't knock me out. And if you think you had a fight before, honey, it ain't over yet. Hello? Amen. I'm telling you this morning, there are going to be some moments in your life where you're going to have to fight. It's chapter 1, verse number 3, and there's just a few verses there. Amen. But he says in verse number 3, it was needful, Jude says, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you and tell you that you should earnestly contend. Do you know what earnestly contend means? It means fight. It means come out swinging. Contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse number 14, Nehemiah says, and I looked around and I rose up and said unto the nobles and unto the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them and remember the Lord your God. He is great and mighty. And he goes on to say, fight for your brethren, fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, and fight for your wives, and fight for your house. Amen. Men of God, listen to me this morning. We need to fight for the salvation of our household. And we need to fight for our own personal relationship with Christ. And we need to fight for our own personal, amen, holiness in the sight of God. And we need to fight for our marriage and fight for our children to be raised in the knowledge and in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Some things we have to just simply fight for. Fight for a strong prayer life. Amen. How many of you know the enemy will try to detour you every time you try to pray? Is it not true? You tell yourself, I need to go pray, and the devil says, why don't you hit the hay? Hello? Amen. You can find all kind of excuses when you get ready to go to prayer why you shouldn't. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, you need to fight for a powerful prayer life, because little prayer equals little power with God. Much prayer equals much power with God. And it's not because we're spending so much time by our works in the sight of God. No, it's just a matter that when we are in his presence, we can't help but be changed by the power of his Holy Spirit. And when we're changed, it gets us in a place where we can receive from him. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, don't check out on this generation. Men, don't check out on the fight. Our generation needs men of God now today more than ever. Stay at your battle station. Stay in the place that God intends for you to be and learn how to fight. Amen. The measure of a man can be determined by what he flees from, what he follows after, and what he determines is valuable enough to stand up and fight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you imagine what our city would be like if men would say, I want to measure up to what God wants me to be? Our churches would change. Our families would change. Our households would change. Our communities would change. Our nation would change. Men, don't give up the fight. Amen. My prayer for us, on this beautiful Father's Day 2015, is that we pursue the things that God measures men by. There is a true an accurate measurement. What is that measurement? We are measured by the plumb line of God. We're measured by the word of God. We're measured by what we flee from, what we follow after, and what we fight for. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't been fleeing some things. Let me bring it down right here where the rubber just meets the road. Maybe the enemy been sitting on your shoulder and telling you, you know, you just need to give up on this, and you need to give up on that, and you need to walk away from this, and you need to change that, and you just been self-talking and listening to the devil and saying, yeah, boy. Amen. Can I tell you something this morning? You know the old saying, the grass is always greener on the other side? It's watered by the same water. And you know, oftentimes you get on the other side of the fence and it ain't any better than what it is on your side. You might as well just stay on your side and fight for what's right. Amen. I mean, that right there is good preaching. Amen. That right there is good preaching. And oftentimes the enemy comes and sits on our shoulder and he tells us all kinds of stuff. And pretty soon we start listening and then we start saying the same old garbage that he's saying. And when we start speaking it, because it gets in our spirit and out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. And when we start speaking, we'll eventually walk in that. And we made our own bed. Because we allowed him to sit on our shoulder and talk. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't been fleeing from some things. Like a serpent in the middle of the trail. You need to jump back, step back, and say, no, 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 no. That don't measure up to what God said. And just back off. And remove yourself quickly from it. Maybe you're here this morning and there are some things that you know you need to be doing, but you aren't following after them. Maybe there's some things that you need to follow, but you're not following. Maybe there's some things you need to do, but you're not doing them. The true and accurate measure of a man. There has to be a standard. There has to be a guideline. Or else there's confusion and chaos. And you know the Bible said that God is not the author of confusion. And God has a set of standards for us. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't been fighting the fight of faith. Maybe you threw in the towel. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the measure of a man can be determined by what he flees from, what he follows after, and what he fights for. Bow your heads, please. If you are here and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to your heart and begins to show you that you haven't been fleeing from certain things, or you haven't been following some things you need to follow, or you haven't been fighting for some things that you need to fight for, nobody can change that but you and God. Nobody can change that but you and Jesus. Heavenly Father, I have endeavored to deliver what you have placed on my spirit. Help me, oh God. I stand before these your people and I pray with an open heart. Help me to flee from those things that I need to flee from. Help me, oh God, to follow after those things that will determine true character in my life. Help me, oh God, to be willing to stand up in a world that has gone amok, and help me to fight for what is right and fight the good fight of faith. And I pray, Father, this morning that you will speak to hearts, that you'll speak to lives, and that they will have the same desire that I feel in my spirit this morning. I ask it in Jesus' name. For your glory, I pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you here? And you would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, there's some things that I haven't been fleeing, but I need to. Would you say that's me? Yes. Yes. There's some things that I need to flee from. Are there any more hands? Maybe you're here and you'd be willing to slip up a hand and say, Pastor Gary, there's some things that I haven't been following after. Are you here and you slip your hand up and say, that's me. There are you. There you are. 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 Maybe you're here and you would just say, Pastor Gary, God knows there's some things that I haven't been fighting for. God sees your hand. God sees your hand. God sees your hand. I haven't been fighting for what I know is right. Meaning I haven't been trying to make it right. trying to make it work, trying to fight for what I know is right. There's some things I haven't been fighting for. Anybody else, you'd slip your hand up. Hands have been lifted all over the building. Yes. Hands lifted all over the building. Everyone, please just stand to your feet. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Father, this is such a special day. And even though I title the message, The Measure of a Man, it encompasses all of us. But Father, this morning we thank you for our earthly fathers. We thank you for our heavenly Father. Father, help us, I pray this morning, to flee the things that need to be fled from. Follow after the things that need to be followed, and to fight for the things that need to be fought for. Speak to our hearts this morning, oh God, I pray. Help us to walk out of here with a touch of your Holy Spirit. I pray for every hand, for every heart, and for every individual, Lord, that's here and that will hear this message by the internet. Strengthen us, touch us, change us, and help us to be found truly and accurately measured by the hand of God. In Jesus' name, amen.